Take one AI agent, clone it 20 times, and call the clones a team. Do you have a team? Or one agent at 20 times the price? A group out of Oregon State and Penn State ran exactly that experiment. 20 identical agents, same model, same generic prompt, empty memories, dropped into a stream of hard math and coding tasks. Nobody told them to specialize. A few hundred tasks later, 4 to 5 stable specialists had formed on their own. A combinatorics expert here, a debugging expert there, and the same pattern showed up on every rerun.
One fast fact before anything else. This explainer is AI made end to end, our voices included.
The paper is called Evo Chamber, and by the end, you'll understand the one mechanism that turns 20 copies into a team, plus the experiment showing that without it, 20 agents are worth exactly one. Why care? Multi-agent AI systems are being deployed everywhere right now, and almost all of them are static. They're exactly as smart on task 1000 as on task 1, unless someone pays for retraining. This is a recipe for a team that improves while it works, with no retraining at all.
Then pin down what agent means here, because the whole result leans on it. What counts as an agent is thin. The same 8 billion parameter language model, wrapped in its own prompt and its own notebook of notes it accumulates as tasks go by. 20 agents, one shared brain, 20 notebooks. The network's weights never change. Everything learned lives in text. And once you see how thin an agent is, the obvious design writes itself. When one agent figures out something useful, a debugging tactic, a proof technique, you share it. One common memory, broadcast to all 20. Knowledge is free to copy, so more of it everywhere can only help. That's how I would have built this, honestly.
And that design, Tyler, is the one the paper dismantles. On competition-level coding, the memory-based baseline system scored barely better than, or in one case, worse than, a single agent working alone. Broadcasting every lesson to the whole team erased the reason to have a team. Why extra knowledge can make a group of agents worse? That question runs through the entire paper.
It's a strange failure, though. Worst case, an agent reads a note that doesn't apply to its task and ignores it. Where's the harm?
The harm is what you turn the team into. Run the thought experiment as a company. Every memo force-read by all staff, everyone's files kept identical. Within a year, you don't have 20 employees. You have one employee photocopied 20 times at 20 salaries. Any question one of them can answer, all of them answer identically. For these agents, it's starker, because an agent is only its notes. Identical memories make identical agents. A team's asset is that its members differ, and broadcast sands the differences off.
Fine, but I'll push, Juniper. Everything on a team is still text in a notebook somewhere. Why is team evolution a different problem, rather than one agent's evolution copy-pasted 20 times?
Because some of the evolvable state has no single agent version. A solo agent can improve its context and its memory, and that's the whole inventory. A team can additionally change who gets picked for a task, how the picked ones collaborate, and where lessons travel. Take the pairwise record, do these two win together? No statistic about one agent answers that. Or the roster itself. An agent can't fire itself and hire two specialists in its place. This system does that on a schedule. It's the difference between each employee's skills and the org chart, plus the institutional sense of who pairs well with whom.
So, quick check before the machinery, because it frames everything after. Why does broadcasting every lesson backfire? Because identical memories make identical agents, and you're back to one employee at 20 salaries. Okay, four moving parts to hold from here, all on screen. The pool, 20 agents, each with a private notebook and a per-task type scoreboard. The team, 3 agents picked per task. Codream, the postmortem channel that moves lessons between notebooks. And the life cycle, Roster edits every 10 tasks. Fork a winner, merge near duplicates, prune dead weight, spawn a fresh specialist for uncovered task types. First question. Out of 20, how do you pick the three?
The tempting answer is the top three on the scoreboard, and the authors reject that by name because it collapses the pool. Your stars soak up all the experience, everyone else stagnates, and diversity dies. The rich get richer failure. Instead, they staff the team like a basketball rotation. The anchor is the current best performer on this task type, pure exploitation, and it leads the team. The complement is chosen on three criteria: good in its own right, a track record of winning alongside the anchor, and stylistically different from the anchor. There is an explicit penalty for hiring a clone of your star. And the scout is deliberately an underused agent. The rookie gets real minutes even when it costs you tonight, because a bench that never plays never develops, and the roster edits downstream need a developed bench to work with.
Then the three have to interact somehow, and the leader picks the format. Vote, debate, generator critic, or decompose the task. Which raises a question. Why not always vote? Sample several answers. Take the majority. That's the standard playbook for boosting accuracy. The two-sentence reason it's a trap on hard problems. If each attempt is right 20% of the time, the wrong answers are what cluster, and five voters agree on the correct answer only about 6% of the time. The majority actively outvotes the rare agent that knows. Picture the pub quiz team where four friends confidently share the same misconception and shout down the one who's right. The paper measured it. On the AIM level math stream, five agent majority voting scored under 7%, worse than a single agent alone. Adding four teammates made the system worse.
Which is exactly why the leader learns instead of defaulting. It consults a shared bank of past leadership calls and their outcomes, and drifts toward debate or generator critic as tasks harden. But notice what we still don't have. Roles decide who's in the room. The leader decides how they talk. Nothing so far moves a single lesson between notebooks, 20 private diaries, zero circulation. The dense stretch is next. Co-dream, the five-phase post-mortem that is this paper's engine. And it pays off in the cleanest experiment in the whole thing. A full 20-agent apparatus that gains nothing at all until this one channel switches on. The right mental model is a hospital's morbidity and mortality conference, the structured debrief after something goes wrong. Co-dream fires when the team fails or splits on an answer, and it runs five phases. Reflect. Each member privately diagnoses its own attempt. Contrast. Whoever failed gets paired with whoever succeeded to extract the delta. What did the winner do differently? Imagine. Those deltas become candidate strategies. Debate. Members cross-critique, and weak proposals die. Crystallize. The survivors get written up as tagged insights.
Concrete check. Because insight can hide a lot of mystique. What does one of these notes look like when you read it off the logs?
Like a coach's note. A real one from the run. When counting integers in a range divisible by several numbers, use inclusion-exclusion with least common multiple adjustments. That's it. A paragraph of tactical advice, tagged by task type. The magic isn't the note, it's the delivery route. A crystallized insight gets injected only into agents whose scoreboard on that task type sits below the pool median. Strong agents produce knowledge. Weak agents consume it. The paper's own framing is that this sharpens specialization instead of diluting it. The hospital analogy holds one more beat. The guidance goes to the residents who need it, never into an all-staff email. Except here, seniority is decided purely by the running scoreboard, and it can flip next month.
Withholding a good lesson from your best agents still feels like leaving points on the table. If the note is correct, why ration it?
Because your best agent on that niche already has its own working version, in its own vocabulary. and every note you push to everyone is one step back toward the photocopier. The asymmetry is a valve. Knowledge circulates. Diversity survives. One honest flag to plant here, because it matters later. All this routing is indexed on task type labels that the benchmarks hand the system for free. And the authors admit in an appendix that most crystallized insights end up classified as cross-domain, meaning the niche-targeted routing fires less often than the framing suggests. Hold on to that.
Held. Now the evidence, starting with the experiment Juniper promised, because it's the sharpest fact in the paper. An appendix isolation test on a 30-task math subsequence. Run the entire apparatus, 20 agents, private notebooks, anchor complement scout, lifecycle edits. But switch CoDream off. If the thesis is right, no cross-agent transfer should leave the team worth exactly one agent. Result? 63.3% versus a single agent's 63.3%. Identical to the decimal. The whole 20-agent machine, zero gain. Switch CoDream on and change nothing else. 70%. The pool is scaffolding. The transfer channel is the engine.
And with the engine running, the mechanism makes a prediction. Gains should compound over the stream and concentrate where single attempts fail most, on the hardest problems. That's what the tables show. On the hard competition math stream, Evo Chamber lands around 64% against 48 for the best baseline on an off-the-shelf 8 billion parameter open model. Competition coding is starker. A single agent solves under 7% of code contests' problems, and the evolved pool solves 35, five times over, while the memory-based baseline scored barely better than the single agent, or in one case, worse, close to what the photocopier problem predicts.
The ablations say the same thing from the other side. Knock out CoDream and the system drops 11 points overall. On multi-hop question answering, it collapses from around 90% into the 50s. Knock out team roles or structure selection instead, and you lose 2 or 3 points each. One mechanism carries the method. Two footnotes, one sentence apiece. The whole thing costs about 3.6 times a single agent's inference, though it beats five-way voting while spending less than voting's token budget. And shuffling the task order doesn't break it. Accuracy ticks slightly up. But the accuracy table isn't the reason this paper earned a video. The reason is what the pool turned into along the way.
This is the picture worth staring at. 20 rows on screen, one per agent. The task stream flows left to right. Brightness is competence on each task type. At the start, the grid is uniform. 20 identical agents, remember. Now watch it move. Most rows fade toward gray, while 4 or 5 bands sharpen and lock in. One agent burning bright on combinatorics, another on geometry, a pair on debugging. Ecologists have a name for this. Land identical birds on an island with several food sources, come back generations later, and you find seed specialists and insect specialists. Rerun history from the same founders and the same niches get filled by different lineages. That's precisely what the random seeds show here. Across 3 runs, you always get 4 to 5 specialists, and which agent becomes which specialist changes every time. The pattern is guaranteed by the environment. The identity is a lottery of early experience. The authors call it a structural signature of multi-agent evolution that no single agent learner can express. And after the isolation experiment, I believe them.
The run logs back that up with names. 3 specific agents, IDs like 6F3DCC14, became the pool's expert core. They produced 72 of the 93 verified insights, 77%. And the very same 3 account for every one of the 43 specialization events, where the life cycle sharpens a winner's persona toward its dominant niche. top teachers and top specialists, perfectly overlapping from feedback alone. The logs also show the system failing, and candidly, when the aim block arrives and no team member solves anything, Codream has no success to contrast against, and the crystallized insights degrade into advice like, create a structured checklist of required values. Generic study tips. The system's behavior shifts too. Forking stops cold, and it switches to pruning agents and spawning fresh ones, thrashing for traction at the frontier. A graceful failure, at least. With no success to distill from, the worst output is bland advice, and the roster machinery responds by searching rather than cloning. The system degrades honestly.
The failure I can live with, Juniper. What bothers me is what the successes we're standing on. Every task in every stream arrives pre-tagged with its niche, straight from benchmark metadata. This one's an aim problem. This one's code contests. Every scoreboard, every anchor pick, every routing decision is indexed on those ground truth labels. In deployment, nobody tags your incoming tickets by subdomain. Discovering the niche structure is arguably the hard part, and here it's handed over for free, so the emergence result needs a narrower reading. Who specializes is emergent, what the niches are was given. Then stack the flag you planted earlier on top. Most insights get classified cross-domain, so the asymmetric routing, the sharpest contrast with broadcast, fires less than the pitch implies. The isolation experiment proves transfer is the engine. Nobody ran Codream with symmetric broadcast, so nothing proves the asymmetry is.
That's the missing ablation, Tyler, and I don't have an answer for it. The one experiment separating transfer helps from asymmetric transfer specifically helps isn't in the paper. Add the scope caveats, main tables from single runs, and on a stronger backbone, the edge thins to under 2 points on the easiest stream. And the defensible claim is narrower, and still worth having. At test time, in a mid-difficulty band, a cross-agent transfer channel turned a pool of copies into a compounding team, and specialization came along with it.
Which flips our opening question the right way around. 20 clones become a team the moment lessons start flowing. This paper's bet is that they have to flow downhill.
So the claim worth keeping: a team of agents has evolvable state no single agent has, who collaborates, how they talk, and where knowledge goes. And the routing is what made 20 notebooks worth the cost.
If you're building one of these, pick a lane in the comments. Asymmetric routing as the principle to invest in, or a well-deduplicated shared memory that gets you most of the way at half the complexity. The full annotated version of this episode is on paperdive.ai. Every technical term tapped to define, with related papers grouped by theme.
Fine print. This script was written by Anthropic's Claude Fable 5. Tyler and I are AI voices from 11 Labs. The producer isn't affiliated with either company. The paper is Evo Chamber, published May 11th, 2026. This episode, July 4th, 2026.
Your homework. Trace where one lesson travels in your own agent stack this week. If the answer is everywhere, count how many copies of the same employee you're paying for.